Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to welcome you to this session of the Dallas City Council. It is my pleasure to introduce one of our Dallas Fire Rescue Chaplains, and that's David Smith. Chaplain Smith has been a member of the Dallas Fire and Rescue Department for over 32 years. He spent 24 years as a firefighter paramedic and the last 8 years as chaplain for the fire department. Chaplain Smith, we appreciate you being with us. Please rise for the invocation.
Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Father, we thank you for this day. And Father, when I think of meetings like this that we have, Father, I think of a small verse. Father, it's a small verse, but yet a powerful verse, and that's Philippians 4:5, that tells us that let our gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. So, Father, as we strive, our goal is to create a better Dallas, to serve the citizens of Dallas well. Father, I pray that we can all do this in love, in gentleness, in kindness, and compassion, and yield to others, Father. And the second part of your verse tells us that you are near, Father. You're always with us. You know what we do, what we say, what we think. So, Father, you hold us accountable to what we say and what we do. And so, Father, may we do everything in a godly and a Christ-like character. So, Father, bless this time. Father, as the words that you gave to your servant Moses to bless your people, your words were this. Father, bless us and keep us. Make your face shine upon us and be gracious to us. And Father, lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Ms. Hill, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chaplain Smith, thanks for being with us. Thanks for your service to the city. We will begin with the morning speakers. I know that there's a number of individuals that are interested in attending the DSO announcement, which will be at 10 o'clock. So we'll try to push forward as much and get through as much of the agenda before then as we can, and then we'll pick it back up in the afternoon. With that, our morning speakers, Madam Secretary.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, we have just three speakers assigned, but we have two cancellations.
Please.
First is going to be Linda Bates, followed by Tess. I'll try to pronounce that last name, Tess from Merriam, and then Juanita Wallace. Those are the only three that are going to be speaking. While Ms. Bates is coming forward, let me recite the rules for speaking. Citizens and other visitors attending the city council meeting shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the city council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the city council or while attending the city council meeting shall be removed from the room if the sergeant-at-arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the city council during that session of the city council. Ms. Bates, you have 3 minutes to speak. You'll see an amber light which indicates 30 seconds, and then the red light means stop. State your name and your address for the record.
My name is Linda Bates, 4144th Round, West Dallas, Texas. I've been coming down here for years. I've been seeing people die. Our whole community is suffering from cancer. We've been contaminated and we've been living with it. Is there anybody in America, not just the city, because we've been through so many murders and sit in the seat and just cover up the murder? That's what the city is accused of, murder. These people are dying. And y'all just sit here year after year. We might have to come down here every day, every week. He done lost his mama from cancer. His daddy got cancer in the hospital. It was just his sister from cancer, his auntie from cancer, his uncles both from cancer in the same year. My friend's mother died from cancer. My friends died from cancer. West Dallas is full of cancer from the contaminant, not just lead, not just arsenic, mad cat, all kinds of chemicals. And Dallas should know. I know you know because back in 83, y'all sued some of the people, the RSR here in 2 years ago, W.R. Grace was closed down from arsenic and stuff. It's ridiculous how people just sit around the podium and in the state period, Royce West, all of them just sit and let these people in our community, because we are poor blacks, die. It's called murder. We don't know whose funeral we're going to go to this week or the next week. We don't know who's going to come in the church house next week. They might be here this Sunday, but they might not show up the next Sunday. Either they got chemo or they got all kinds of treatments that they're going through to survive. Our kids, baby, from the contaminants, we have endured mental illnesses. Babies born sick, and babies with just, it's just ridiculous. How can a committee just sit here and let our people die? Our people is suffering still today from lead poisoning, cadmium, arsenic. You did all this here for the EPA. EPA ain't did nothing for us. They moved us out. They promised us housing. You know, the housing got us a Section 8 where they can watch and tell you how to live. If you gave them a place to stay, that's not fair. They still got to report to y'all. But we can't, y'all don't treat us for our illnesses. A whole lot of people in West Dallas don't have Medicaid.
Thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Our next speaker is Mr. Tesla Marion, and then Juanita Wallace. Either speaker here, Mr. Mayor, that's all of our morning speakers.
Thank you very much, Madam Secretary. I appreciate that. First item we have on the agenda then is the minutes. Those are the minutes of our last meeting. Those have been distributed in advance, so if I could have a motion on those, please. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. In regard to the agenda, the consent agenda, if I could have a motion for approval of the items on both the consent agenda and on the addendum. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. There were none polled. They're already individual. They're already individual. So with that, I need to wait 3 minutes so we can go to our individual items. Tell you what, we'll do is give an overview. My anticipation is to go through, there's just a couple of individual items. We'll try to get those done by 10 o'clock. We're a couple minutes before that. The item in regard to addendum item number 6, I'm going to go ahead and I've asked the city attorney to add that to the executive session. We've got a brief executive session with 2 items, and we'll cover those. So I anticipate we'll probably go into executive session somewhere in the area of about 1, have the executive session, then we'll come in and finish our afternoon where most of the items will be, and we've got a number of speakers on the various items there. Now, we are going to have, in regard to the nominations for the DFW Board, in one of those, there's a contested place. Madam Secretary, why don't we go ahead and pass those ballots out now? We'll just kind of get those ballots. Please. I need you to wait 2 minutes then before I get it in the record.
Okay.
Give me just a second, Steve, and then we'll get that back in.
Let me get the staff in here.
Mr. Solis, they're ready for the ballot
for the DFW.
No, we're passing out the ballot.
I'm at 52. I did it right. It's item 52 I talked about on the drawing. Item 52 on the drawing.
Okay. Mayor, we're passing out the ballots now.
Why don't you get those passed out for now, and then if we don't need them, we'll just deal with it.
Yes, sir.
I need to read the item into the record before I can take the question, so we just need to wait just a moment and we'll get back to it.
that as addendum item 4, Mr. Mayor, when we read it into the record? DFW Board, addendum 4. Mr. Mayor, it appears to be 9:15. Would you like me to read item addendum item?
Go to item 39. We're just going to go right down the order.
You want to go 39 first? Okay. Item 39 on your regular agenda is consideration of appointments to board and commissions and the evaluation and duties of board and commission members. You have several nominees for appointments to board. The first would be the Board of Adjustment, Paula Liani. Is that correct, Mr. Caraway? Is being nominated by Paula. Excuse me. Being nominated
by Ms. Margolin.
By Ms. Margolin. Apologize. Community Development Commission, Barbara Olson, being nominated by Councilmember Margolin. The Redistricting Commission, Daniel Corcus Sherman, being nominated by Councilmember Newman. Mary Hassan, being nominated by Councilmember Atkins. Gary Griffith, being nominated by Councilmember Cadane. Thomas Moore Wood, being nominated by Councilmember Natinsky. Elizabeth Jones, being nominated by Councilmember Margolin. And John Love, being nominated by Councilmember Hunt. All meet qualifications for service, Mr. Mayor.
And if I could, a motion for approval. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed to ordinance? Secretary 40, please.
Item number 40 is authorized acceptance of a zoning application on property with delinquent tax located at 5214 South Lamar Street.
Motion, please. Motion to approve. All those, is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Davis, did you want to make a comment?
No.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So order. Madam Secretary, item 41, please.
Item 41 is authorized modifications to the permanent supported housing program statement. To number one, remove reference to a goal to create an exact number of PSH units. To provide for city consideration of assistance to PSH units when existing units have been absorbed and services for existing units are stabilized. Three, encourage developers and applicants to brief key neighborhood and community groups. Four, provide for staff to notify the City Council when staff receives PSH project proposals seeking city assistance. And five, provide maximum level of funding per PSH unit and a minimum percentage of PSH units required for multifamily projects for developers willing to provide PSH units and seeking assistance from city programs.
Ms. Margolin, I believe you have a motion to have the Housing Committee consider this further.
Yeah. This item has a number of policy changes, and it has not had the benefit of review and discussion by the council. So after a conversation with Mr. Salazar, who has agreed to accept it into the Housing Committee, I move that we defer this to the Housing Committee for further consideration.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, 42, please.
Item 42, which requires 2 seconds, Mr. Mayor,
please.
Authorize an amendment to Resolution Number 09-1965, previously approved on August 12, 2009, to increase the loan amount by $275,000 on existing economic development loan with Citywide Community Development Corporation for the acquisition of improved and unimproved property located within the Lancaster Corridor, including associated relocation, environmental remediation, or demolition costs for the purpose of constructing residential, retail, commercial, or mixed-use redevelopment as part of the economic development plan for the Lancaster Corridor.
It's been moved and seconded, and second by Ms. Book, Ms. Hill, and Ms. Davis. And 2 seconds indicate additional due diligence beyond materials distributed. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, 43.
Item 43 is authorized amendment to resolution number 102770, previously approved on October the 26th, 2010, to change the contractor's award to reconstruct one home located 4749 Burma Road in accordance with the requirements of the Reconstruction Share Program statement. Total is not to exceed $93,400, Mr. Mayor. 2 seconds.
If I could have a motion on that, please. Ms. Davis?
Move to approve.
Moved. Seconded by Mr. Atkins and Ms. Madronel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, would you go to addendum item number 5?
Addendum item number 5 is authorized the release of lien on real property located 435 Park Street Hill as collateral for a loan made by the South Dallas Fire Department Trust Fund to Sylvia Alexander Leonard, doing business as Alexander's Barbecue.
Move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. We'll need 2 seconds on that.
Perfect.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Toward. Madam Secretary, if you would read number 4 into the record, let's deal with place 1 and 5 first. I'll take a motion on those two, and then we'll move to place 11.
Yes, sir. Consideration of appointment to the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport Board of Directors for places 1 and 5 at this time, Mr. Mayor. And Ms. Cooper is handling the motion on that particular item.
Effective terms to expire January 31st, 2011.
2013.
I'm sorry.
I second the
motion. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Question?
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Ms. Ballard, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm making an alternative motion, and I'll explain why.
Please.
The motion would be to defer this appointment because historically we've always had the interviews at transportation, and then they come to a briefing for the entire council. Now, if the mayor and the council remember, we do have issues that we have discussed in executive session which affects the DFW board members that are currently serving, and I think by pushing for the vote today, it denies the opportunity of council members who would have questions of those board members regarding these issues discussed in executive session an opportunity. Now, historically, we've always had the vote for the straw ballot at the council briefing, which would be the following week. We have always done that for DART, DFW, all the citywide boards. Since 1995, that's how we've done it. We've always given the opportunity for full council to have an opportunity to also, who didn't sit in on the transportation to raise either an issue or a question, and especially now that we have these issues that affect DFW, that we have discussed from an executive session. And my understanding, there's litigation. I have a concern about, all three appointees just with respect to those issues, and I would have liked the opportunity to ask those issues of them in executive session.
And so you're really asking for them.
Right, that's
part of your proposal, not only deferring, but having an opportunity for the council
right.
and briefing to be able to visit.
Exactly, and it would be at a council briefing. You know, after they do the interview there, then it goes to back to come to the full council. And sometimes we've actually done it at the council briefing as well. But normally it goes from the committee to the full council. And I think one or twice we have done it at the briefing.
That's right.
So that would be my motion, Mayor.
You'd like an opportunity for
right.
the full council to be able to have that opportunity.
I'm not looking to forestall it, just to not vote on it today, but push it to the council briefing. And if you want to do the vote on the day of the council briefing, then I'll take it.
So you wouldn't even have an objection to even next
right.
week at our briefing being?
Correct, Mayor. That's right.
That's fine.
Okay.
And I'll take that then as an alternative motion.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Can I get a second on the substitute motion so that it's been moved and seconded? Ms. Davis, would you like to make a comment?
I have one comment. Now, can we, if we're having concerns at DFW, and we all know that there are some concerns that's going on at DFW. Can we ask that and to the commissioner who's on that board about concerns openly at the interview?
Sure. Again, you'll be free at that time to ask any questions that you feel are appropriate.
Okay. Well, I didn't ask those questions because I didn't just want to get the dirty laundry out there, but I have some concerns too about the way some things have been handled at DFW, even quote unquote you hear about, or it's just you know, and I didn't ask those questions. I just kind of kept it to myself, but I do too have some concerns on treatment of certain situations, and when you hear it from a commissioner, it's pretty bad, and so I just have some concerns.
Fair enough, Ms. Coop.
Coates, I want to remind you there were several memos, probably a half a dozen in all, talking about the schedule, talking about when they would come to council, when they come to the board. The board committee meeting, the committee had 11 members there present that day. We try to keep you well informed. Occasionally one will come to briefing. The only reason it will come on briefing day typically is because the briefing day follows the transportation, if the briefing day follows the transportation day, that where we have reviewed the nominees. If you'll recall, on Monday I also passed around a sheet with DART board appointees calendars on there. Same kind of calendar situation. We were supposed to getting you a hard copy on that one. We delivered several hard copies to your assistants during this process. So, Mayor, I'm sure we'll take a vote since there was a substitute motion, but I'll be voting in favor of the original motion.
Appreciate it. Thank you. And Mr. Salazar, just to, if I could, clarify, I assume then your motion is to delay not only the two places, 1 and 5, but also 11 there.
Correct.
So the motion. So we'll take that motion. Okay. We'll deal with that. If that is approved, then we'll move forward to try to schedule it in the next briefing or two. I'll leave it a little bit open, but as expeditiously as we can.
No, if we do it at the briefing, we can also take the...
I understand. We put the item on the agenda. If then the motion fails, then we'll go back and we'll deal with the original motion on place 1 and 5 and then move to 11. Ms. Margolin?
Will this leave us without representation for a period of time?
It will not. What will happen is those individuals will just be in a holdover mode, and that's not uncommon.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So with that, all those in favor of the substitute motion, that substitute motion then will delay this to the next or the briefing after that. I'm going to leave it a little bit open. Leave it open. You want a record vote? Record vote.
This is the motion to delay.
This is the motion to delay.
To the briefing for a vote.
Councilmember Hill.
No,
I'm sorry. Okay. Mr. Mayor, I'll
just delay it. Pick it up. Do a briefing. Do a briefing.
Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to get on board.
Okay, let's go.
We're voting on the board. Mr. Mayor, you ready?
I think we're ready.
Okay. All in favor of the substitute motion to defer the item to a city council briefing. Voting in favor is Mayor Leppard, Mayor Pro Tem Caraway, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Council Members Salazar, Atkins, Hill, Davis, Margolin, and Hunt. Voting no, Council Members Kadang, Newman, Coop, Natinsky, Hosko, and Allen. The substitute motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Then, as a result of that, we'll reschedule. That completes our then an agenda for this morning. What I would suggest, and we're not going to get all the way through it, but we'll give it a go. We'll now go into an executive session. There'll be two items that we'll talk about. I anticipate coming back into session probably in the 1:30 time frame. We may very well do part of our executive session now, part of our executive session at 1 o'clock, so assuming then that we finish it in the 1:30 time frame. That being the case, now at 9:28 a.m. on January 12, 2011, the City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551.071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to follow advice and consult with the City Attorney on the following matter described on today's agenda. One, Siri versus the City of Dallas, and two, legal issues involving Agenda Item 52 regarding an SUP for gas drilling on Hensley Field. So if I could ask all of the council people to, if you would, reconvene in the room back. We'll go ahead and start the session, try to get going for the next 15 or 20 minutes, and then we'll pick it back up at 1. Thank you very much. We're in recess. Okay, we're back in session. Thank you very much for your patience on that. We've got a number of items on the agenda. Before we call on that, Mr. Carraway, do you want to make a comment?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. And to the City Council, my colleagues, and to the citizens of the city, let me say that, no one loves the City of Dallas more than I do. And let me also say that things have been in a very honorable, upstanding way, and folks kind of know how I am. On last weekend, an incident did occur at my house. I overreacted, as I always overreact down here, and it involved other folks that were at my house watching the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm sorry for that, and I want my colleagues to know that you know exactly how I am and the passion and things that take place. It's a private matter between myself and my wife, and I can only describe this incident as a 16-year marital disagreement that sometimes occur after being married for such a period of time. I'm having a lovely marriage. Everybody are happy. I just ask the community and my colleagues to respect the fact and respect our privacy, to work through circumstances. Those of you in this audience that are married, those of you that are listening that are married, if you've not always wanted eggs and bacon, and some of you may have wanted something else, but you didn't get it, and that's just what marriage is all about. I would ask you all to please respect the privacy of it. There are no problems. Everything is moving forward. We just need to have an opportunity at this time to have a little solitude so that we can work things through and reach the 50 years that we've set to celebrate down the line. So that's the end of all of this with me. That's my statement. It's not going to be anything else. No more questions, no nothing. We're going to get back to taking care of the business for the citizens of this city. And I just want to say that and make sure that my colleagues understood and knew where I was. So thank you very kindly.
Thank you, Mayor. Madam Secretary, let's go into our afternoon session. There are several items on the consent agenda. If you will read 44 to 47 into the record, and if there's any speakers on that, we'll go ahead and take a motion on those collectively.
Yes, sir. Item 44 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for an ordinance granting a planned development district for a public school other than an open enrollment charter school and a single family district use on property zoned a single family district with a D1 liquor control overlay on a portion of community retail district on the northwest corner of Military Parkway and Prairie Creek. 45 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for an ordinance granting an amendment to an expansion of planned development sub-district number 11 and a specific use permit for an off-premise sign on property zoned in planned development sub-district number 11 and a multifamily sub-district within planned development district number 193, the Oakland Special Purpose District on the northeast corner of Houston Street and Light Street. 46 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for an ordinance granting a single-family district on property zoning agricultural district on the northeast corner of Oakwood Drive and Pratter Road. And the final item, item 47, is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting an amendment to Track 2 portion of Plan Development District Number 314, the Preston Center Special Purpose District on the southeast corner of Sherry Lane and North Dallas Tollway Frontage Road.
Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on any of the four items that I just read into the record, items 44 through 47?
Leslie Allen Davis, 3035 East Leadville, apartment 401, phone number 214-376-3811. I agree with our approval. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else who would like to speak?
Last time. Go ahead, Madam Secretary.
Anyone else who would like to speak on items 44 through 47? Mr. Mayor.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Let's go to item 48.
Item 48 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for an ordinance granting an industrial manufacturing district for the northeastern portion of the site zoned an industrial research district and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for metal salvage facility on property zoned an industrial manufacturing district and an industrial research district to a industrial on the north and west line of Tanner Road south of Rome Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 14 notices, property notices from 300 feet of the area of request, received 3 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition. Cross-section majority.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City's Plan Commission to approve this item? Is there anyone that would like to speak in favor? Mr. Mayor?
Ms. Salazar, would you like to be in?
Thank you, Mayor. I believe that I'm going to have to follow the recommendation of the Plan Commission. However, it's going to be a 5-year with an automatic 5-year renewal. And close the public hearing.
There's a motion. Seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, if you'd be so kind as to read in 52 into the record, 52.
Yes. Item 52 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for an ordinance granting a specific use permit for gas drilling and production on property zoned an industrial research district on the south side of Jefferson Boulevard east of Hardy Road adjacent to the water canal in the westernmost quadrant of Hensley Field Airport and Naval Base.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 48 notices to owners within 1,000 feet of the area of request, received no replies in favor and 7 replies in opposition. Due to the denial, recommendation denial by the City Plan Commission will require a 3/4 vote to approve. Thank you. I've had a couple. Oh, I'm sorry, please. Mr. Nkinski has a conflict of interest, and the record will show that he's excused himself from the chamber. Thank you very much. Mary, on this item from our earlier conversation, my sense is that you would like to have a week to pull together some of the appropriate documents and finish some of the documentation that's necessary to properly consider this item. Is that fair?
That's accurate. We need to complete some work on it, so we'd ask if you would delay it for a week.
Okay, so I'm going to ask for a motion then to delay this for a week, to pull it to next Wednesday's agenda. Now, we do have a number of speakers, however. Again, I anticipate that this will be delayed and deferred until next week. If there's any speakers that would like to speak today, we would anticipate not being there next week. We'd be happy to listen to you today. We'll give any speaker 2 minutes that would like to visit on this item. But again, my view is that it'll be deferred, so your comments in relation to a decision probably will not be timely.
Hi, my name is Frederick Ellen. I reside at 1929 Courtside Drive in Grand Prairie. I am opposed at the proposition of rezoning that area for the obvious reason. We're not 100% sure what the effect of drilling in that area is going to have on the people, the property, the animals, and as well as that lake. The toxin levels in that lake are starting to drop. They dropped the fishing moratorium on that lake, and we would like to keep it that way. We're opposed to having anything like this in that area. We've signed petitions. We've handed it over to the City Council.
Sure. We appreciate you being with us. Thank you.
Excuse me?
We appreciate you being with us. Thank you for your comments. good. Why don't we have any speaker that wants to speak come on down to the first row or so?
Caught me off guard here. I didn't realize we were up so quickly. My name is Mark McCord, 7660 La Bolsa Drive, Dallas 75248. At a time when water scarcity is at an all-time high, we see an influx of an industry that uses a huge amount of potable water and destroys that water through chemical contamination beyond science's ability to ever make it usable for humans, animals, or plants again. Each fractured well requires 1.5 to 9 million gallons of water during the fracking process. That water is mixed with a toxic and carcinogenic cocktail of chemicals necessary to fracture the shale layer and release gas. Most wells need to be refractured every 3 to 5 years to maintain a viable flow, so the amount of water used is not just a one-time process. Whenever a well is drilled, some of that water returns to the surface as a flowback liquid of highly contaminated water. It is supposed to be completely contained and disposed of in accordance with federal, state, and local laws. The fact is, much of the returning water is spilled on the ground around the well pad. Despite what you'll be told by drillers, anywhere between 40 and 80% of the contaminated water remains in the well bore, where it can migrate into the water tables and to the surface through the very same fractures that are created by the fracking process to release the gas. The rest of the recovered water is shipped or piped to injection wells, where it is pumped under enormous pressure deep into the ground, where it cannot contaminate water tables or return to the surface. Numerous case studies have proven this to be false. Drilling water, or what the industry refers to as produced water, has been shown to have contaminated water wells in New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Arkansas, Texas, Colorado, Wyoming, and many other places. Yet drillers claim these contaminations are not the result of drilling, caused by some unknown source, and we are left to spend our time and money to prove them wrong. It is estimated by 2012 the gas industry will consume up to 500 billion gallons per year of fresh water that will never again be available for needs that humans, animals, and plants have for this viable resource. That one fact makes the true cost of natural gas much higher than the price one pays. I'd ask you to consider the fact that XTO recently had a spill in Lycoming County, Pennsylvania, where they lost 13,000 gallons through a closed-loop system, and take into consideration their history rather than their rhetoric. Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir.
As you come forward, please indicate whether you are in favor or against the recommendation of the City Planning Commission.
I'm opposed.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for the clarification.
I'm also opposed. Members of the City Council, Mayor Leffert, good afternoon. My name is Ed Meyer. I live at 6015 Fox Point Trail, Dallas, 75249. I currently live 7 miles from the Hensley Field proposed site and 4,000 feet from the second site on 1382 and Camp Wisdom Road. I'm president of the Foxhollow Homeowners Association, friends of Foxhollow Park, and the treasurer for Mountain Creek Coalition, and I'm here to tell you that we are opposed to any gas drilling in Dallas, especially in residential areas where elementary schools are located. Gas wells use about 5 million gallons of water for each fracking. XTO will be getting their water from the city of Dallas. Each of these sites could contain 12 to 14 wells, which is an estimate of 65 million gallons of water per site. Half of the water will be returned, contaminated, and pumped into a hole in Johnson County. Can the city of Dallas afford millions of gallons of water? I want to quote from the City of Dallas Planning and Water Supply Strategic, December 2006. Dallas Water Utilities provide service and water to 2 million people and 22 nearby communities. The population for this area is expected to double in 50 years, which will be 4 million people. Dallas now has 7 lakes supplying water. In 50 years, they will need 9 lakes to supply water. Dallas will need 47 million gallons per day. Compare that to 65 million for one well. Dallas budgets $3.5 million every year for water conservation and reuse. I repeat, reuse. Water is so important that Dallas files lawsuits to protect water access, even going to the Supreme Court. Dallas industries use millions of gallons every year, with Texas Instruments being the largest user. This water is recycled and reused. It's clean, potentially safety for other cities.
Why don't I take about 15 seconds and summarize and close?
Okay. I quote again from the Adela Strategy 2007, Texas. Here in Texas, the only thing more important than water is how it is used. And I strongly urge the council to support a moratorium on this issue.
We appreciate it. Thank you for being with us.
My name is Claudia Meyer, and I am a long-term resident of the Fox Hollow development in the southwest area of Dallas. I am here because of my concern about the health and environmental issues surrounding the drilling of gas wells. The drilling of gas wells is not covered under the Clean Air and Clean Water Act. The gas industry has bypassed safety measures to assure that toxic gases do not escape into our air. Methane and benzene are toxic gases with documented effects on us. The Naval Air Station is on the north side of Mountain Creek Lake, and I live on the south side of Mountain Creek Lake. The southwest area surrounding Mountain Creek Lake has connected waterways between Jopu Lake and Mountain Creek Lake. This part of Dallas is known for its environment and that contains the Audubon and City of Dallas-sponsored Cedar Ridge Preserve. There are over 5 neighborhoods with over 1,000 homes in our area. To add that to the Naval Air Station, and you have an area and a section of Dallas that is targeted for a toxic environmental problem. In addition to the health and safety issues, residents in our area are voicing concerns about the loss of property values. Conservatively speaking, if each home loses $10,000 in property value, the math would be 1,000 homes times $10,000 equals $10 billion lost value for taxation for each and every year. In summary, we do not want the City of Dallas to encourage urban gas drilling for short-term monetary gains when we know the importance of our environment to our long-term economic growth. We request the City Council provide a moratorium.
I want to take about 15 seconds to try to summarize.
I'm finished. Thank you.
Terrific. Thank you. We appreciate you being with us.
City Council members, citizens of Dallas, I'm Julie Schar. I live in University Park, and I speak in favor of the City of the Planning and Zoning Commission voting against this gas drilling. And I think they voted at least once, I think twice, against gas drilling. I'd like to say that drilling in Dallas County would set a precedent for the whole, the City of Dallas would set a precedent for the whole area. My husband and I own property in Fort Worth and sold our mineral rights, but we did it in good faith, not knowing that it can't be controlled at this point. The technology is not up to it.
Thank you very much.
Howdy, my name is Jim Schermbeck. I'm director of a group called Downwinders at Risk. It's a 16-year-old clean air group that's based in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We have quite a few members who surround this particular site, and we're opposed to it being given a permit. I've been doing environmental work in the Dallas-Fort Worth area since 1977. I've seen the damage that legal activity can do to Dallas neighborhoods. I was there to clean up the mess with the neighborhood in the late 80s and early 90s in West Dallas when a lead smelter that was recycling lead operated there for decades and left a neighborhood devastated. There are still thousands of walking wounded in West Dallas as a result of that lead smelter's activities. I was there when a hazardous waste burning permit was being applied for in an industry in Oak Cliff in the middle of a residential neighborhood when this city decided it was a bad idea to do that even though it was legal and rezoned that activity to the point where now we have no hazardous waste incinerators in the City of Dallas. You should pause to consider the downsides of this drilling activity in the City of Dallas. It's not just about quality of life issues. These are fundamental concerns. These are fundamental self-interests of the city. For instance, water availability, water quality. At 2 to 5 million gallons per well, we have 17,000 wells now in the Barnett Shell. It could be as much as 50,000 wells. Do the math. 1 to 5 million, 1 to 7 million gallons of water per well. It's about regional air quality. This city has intervened before in permits for the cement plants in Midlothian when they were trying to expand their activity in waste burning. When the coal plants were planned for south of here, you intervened. There was a reason for that. It was because they have a role to play in your air quality. So do these activities. The VOCs, the pollution coming from these drills now, will eclipse all car pollution in the Dallas-Fort Worth area by 2012.
Start taking about 5 seconds to wrap up, please.
And environmental justice. Once again, the southern part of the city is being asked to accept all of the risks. They can't even get a break from geology.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
You have an opportunity to write a model. Please do so. We can learn a lot from what's happened. It's time to write a model that the rest of the region can use. I urge you to not only vote against this permit, but write a good example for the rest of the region. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Madam Secretary, next speaker.
Yes, sir.
Right.
You can come forward, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Dan Packer. I'm a representative of the American Association of Blacks in Energy, the Dallas chapter. And I really like to thank you all for allowing me to speak here today. American Association of Blacks in Energy, or AABE, is a 30-year organization headquartered in Washington, D.C., created in 1977 in response to the oil crisis of that time. Some of you remember that. We've got 30 chapters from Alaska to Florida, from New England to California. And I thank you for the opportunity to speak here today. We think you're doing the right thing and taking a look at the things associated with natural gas development, but we are in support of going forward with getting this energy source up and running. It has a proven track record. They've been responsible to the community all over America. And Barnett Shell, 1981, they start developing it. This is 30 years worth of development, so we know what we're doing, we know what we can do wrong, we know what's right about it. And the good news is for the American Association of Blacks in Energy is the opportunity for entrepreneurship and jobs to start to be available for our constituency. And that's really the biggest thing for us. This resource, shale gas, can be a real backbone for our energy needs in America. Right now, 30% of natural gas provides electricity, about 30% in the country. We're about to lose anywhere from 20 to 30% of the coal plants, and we should because of their air pollution, and that will have to be replaced. And that happens first and foremost in the urban communities. So it's really important that natural gas gets its hearing. I urge you to be expeditious in taking a look at what you plan to do. Thank you very much for this opportunity to speak.
Appreciate it. Thank you for being with me.
Hi, I'm Molly Rook. I live at 5829 Palm Lane, and I wanted to just give a little bit of information today. I'll be back next week, though. I am in favor of the City Plan Commission's recommendation of denial of the permit. And I know lots of people here, I think, have been kind of confused if they're for or against. I'm against the permit. I'm for the City Plan Commission, where I've spoken several times already on gas drilling. I'm in favor of the city stopping any action towards issuing any new permits on drilling until it has carefully studied the many, many negative impacts that have happened in the Barnett Shale and other places in the country where this slick water hydraulic fracturing has been used. My family has had oil and gas drilling on our property in South Texas ever since the drilling was started. This is not the same as old-fashioned oil and gas drilling. It is not. It's not even close. And there were lots of problems associated with that. There have been many more problems associated with this type of fracking drilling. And we have many examples. If you haven't seen them or heard about them, I'd be surprised. There's water catching on fire, people getting sick. I mean, it's not actually the water catching on fire. It's the gas that's coming out of their faucets, at their sinks in their home or outside in their yard. People are getting so ill from the air emissions that they have been informed by their doctors that they need to get out of their own home, that their whole family has to move from their home for the sake of their health, or they may be visiting a hospital or calling the morticians. I mean, it's just that bad. It would be irresponsible for the city of Dallas to be issuing any permits with all the negative information that we have. And if you're counting on the state to protect us from the problems with this drilling, it's false. And they have admitted that the Railroad Commission has admitted that they only have 12 inspectors for 17,000 wells. So I'll be back, and please
thank you very
please
much.
Stop.
Males?
Any more speakers?
Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Gary Stewart, and I'm on the board of Downwinders at Risk. Thank you for allowing us the time to speak. I will be here next week. A couple of months ago, or last summer, there were 600 people present at the EPA hearing in Fort Worth concerning water quality with regard to fracking. I don't know if you would like to have 600 citizens coming here after their water is contaminated, after they're being exposed to benzenes, after their water catches on fire out of the faucet. I don't think he would like that. It is a catastrophe currently that's happening in and around Fort Worth. People's properties are going from like $300,000 down to $70,000 because of fracking. Their water supplies are being damaged beyond repair. People are being exposed to high levels of benzenes, which are carcinogenic. I work in cancer research, and I tell you, that area will have a lot of folks coming down with cancer. You are our leaders. You are here to represent us, citizens. The business of government is not business. The business of government is citizens, protecting citizens. We're not against economic development, but the future economic development has to be green. People cannot die because of businesses' property. Yes, the energy future has to be green, but fracking is not the way to do it. I urge you, thousands of us urge you to do what is right and protect citizens from being sacrificed on the altar of a profit of a few. Again, my name is Gary Stewart, and I'm on the board of Downwinders at Risk. I will be here next week. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us.
William Cothram, 900 Jackson Street, representing XTO. We are willing to accept the delay and want to continue to work with city in any way we can to resolve these issues. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thanks for being with us. Anyone else? Last time I'll let you talk, but let me tell you, if it's not pertinent, it doesn't add to the debate, you're going to lose your opportunity to continue to come up here. So it's your choice. Thank you. Mr. Newman?
Thank you, Mayor. First of all, thank you very much to the citizens that have been here today, Ed and Claudia Meyer, who are I think we had another speaker.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Yep.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Land. I live at 3905 Weber, and I represent Dallas residents for a temporary moratorium on gas drilling. I want to ask you to consider what it would be like to get every drop of water you use to wash your clothes, take your shower, make your meals, and all the other countless things from a few bottles of water that are trucked into you each week, just like the people of Dimmock who have had their entire water supply contaminated. Once it is gone, it's gone, and our air is also at risk. Just ask Lisa Parr of Wise County. She and her family became so sickened by gas drilling fumes that they were forced to flee their homes. Environmental testing of Parr's family's home showed benzene emissions that reached asphyxiation levels in their daughter's room. But it took nearly a year for doctors to figure out what was sickening them. Unfortunately, nobody had warned them of these risks. The representatives have failed them, and sadly, it's not something doctors can easily diagnose. I ask you to please refer to the packets that I put together. There are three expert letters, two of them from public health experts, one from a local professor at the University of Arlington, and she asked you that you please review the upcoming studies before moving forward on this. I'm sorry, I'm going to go ahead and just submit my comments.
Thank you, Scott. We appreciate the work that was done to pull this together. Any other speakers? Ms. Newman, I'm sorry.
Got a few more here. My name is Catherine Rowe. I'm at 4425 Gilbert Avenue, apartment 108, Dallas, Texas, 75219. I'd like to ask the council to please delay permitting any gas drilling here in the city of Dallas. Looking at our neighboring counties, our neighboring cities, there are lots of problems that you can see with this. I would like the city please study this issue, create a task force, strengthen our city ordinance to make sure that anything that happens that could potentially be dangerous not happen near our homes, our schools, our waterways, our businesses. So if there's any chance that this process could be dangerous, that it could be toxic, that it could cause air pollution, water contamination, the city should hold off on this decision. Make sure that if anything does get drilled here in Dallas, that it's done safely.
Thank you for being with us. We appreciate it.
Mr. Mayor, there were several that signed up, and I noticed they're coming up now as we continue to call their name. Let me call their name for the record.
My comments. I just was so out of breath from carrying my...
It's up to the presiding officer.
Sure. Why don't you take 30 seconds or so?
I just want to cover a few points. One being that it's going to take years for epidemiological studies to know the full impact of gas drilling, but there's a few things that we know. From the studies on benzene, we know it's a known cause of cancer. We also know that Texas has the highest rates of benzene of any state in the country. And recently, an epidemiological study found that it's also connected with birth defects. There were twice the rates of spina bifida in areas that had the highest level of benzene in Texas in a 2010 study. We also have the first death attributed to gas drilling effects. That would be Elizabeth Mabaldi of Grand Junction, Colorado. And her doctor said that all of the indicators showed that she had died from her exposure to gas drilling next to her home. Sadly, there are industry interventions such as vapor recovery systems that could significantly lower benzene emissions, but these are not widely used or required. And recently, the U.S. EPA had to take action against the drilling company here in Texas that left homes so contaminated with explosive levels of gas emissions, which state regulators failed to step in. And this is the same regulatory body that was recently found to be so ineffective and riddled with conflicts of interest.
Why don't you go ahead and take that 10, 15 seconds?
Okay, that a state review recommended it be abolished. Even worse, XTO is a known violator, ranking as one of the worst polluters among gas drilling companies in Pennsylvania in a recent review included in your packet. Is that the sort of business you want to drill 300 feet from your homes and through your water tables? Is this reason that the Arlington expert in your packet urges you to heed the warning of her own study showing high gas drilling emission rates in DFW and to wait for the results of the EPA and Fort Worth studies? We are a city of progressive businesses that choose Dallas in part because of the quality of life issues. Just one last
statement. I think the combination of your comments both earlier and now plus the material, we appreciate
it.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Mayor, there were several that did sign up. Alisa Livingstone, did she come forward? Ms. Livingstone, are you going to...
My name is Alisa Livingstone. I live...
You want to bring it up a little bit, Ms. Livingstone?
Yes. 4207 Live Oak Street, Dallas, 75204. I'm also part owner of Recycle Revolution, 4307 Willow Street, both in District 2. I just wanted to show you all a study from the Marcellus Shale in Pennsylvania where they're also doing natural gas drilling. It has to do with compliance.
And it shows all the drillers that have been drilling in Pennsylvania, their compliance with the rules and regulations they've all agreed on, and how they did. It shows that XTO has a number of average violations per well drilled. XTO has 1.3 violations per well drilled, and I believe that this site has a planned 14 wells drilled, 14 wells planned. At 1.3 violations per well, that's 18.2 violations possibly that could happen on this site, this proposed site in Dallas. And I just don't think that right now is the time to drill with all that we're learning. Of course, we'd love to look at statistics from this area, but no such numbers exist. So we have a great opportunity to learn from what's happening elsewhere. The last time when I brought this study up at the last meeting, the planning meeting, XTO said, well, you shouldn't look at this. There's different gas up there. My opinion is that it's like BP going to the Caribbean island nation saying, we want to drill. Don't look at our history in the Gulf. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you for your time, everybody, today.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you being with us.
Our next speaker that signed up was Jeffrey Jacoby. Did Mr. Jacoby speak?
Okay, that'll be fine. Thank you.
Okay. Shanna Coffey? So next week, okay. Joshua Rollins?
Hello. My name is Josh Rollins, 7575 Frankford Road, Dallas, 75252. I'd like to urge the council to hold off on issuing any permits for as long as possible until we can actually have real safety studies like the one that the EPA is currently putting together released. I know that I don't want any fracking fluid in my drinking water, and when the city gives me tips on how to save water but would allow permitting for gas drillers that are going to waste 8 million gallons of fresh water per frack mixed with toxic chemicals that can never be put back into the water system. That's just a terrible idea. Thanks for your time.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Cheryl Blazer. Ms. Blazer here. Daniel McCart. You going to hold? Okay.
Thank you, Daniel.
And Aaron Plautus. Aaron?
I actually don't have my address memorized. I just moved to Richardson from Arlington specifically to get away from this kind of drilling that was going on in my backyard. I think that if we're going to allow this kind of drilling to start in Dallas, we should at least have an inspector to go to the wells to make sure that these companies are following the rules that have been put in place to protect us. And I think that if we are going to start allowing this drilling, then we need to make sure that we put some stronger regulations in place so that we know that we're not going to be poisoning our children. Thank you.
Thank you.
And the final speaker that signed up was Marissa Cruz. Marissa?
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, that's the speaker that did sign up.
Ms. Newman?
Thank you, Mayor. And thank you to all those that showed up and came, took their time out today, especially Ed and Claudia, who are neighborhood leaders down Mountain Creek, and Mr. McCord, Ms. Shar, Ms. Bland, Mr. Packer. Much appreciated. I've had the pleasure of working with Ms. Hunt and Ms. Koop on this issue for several months now, and I appreciate it, and I want to very publicly say thank you to Angela and Linda for their involvement and engagement in this issue. I've spoken before about the confusion and about the concern that I and citizens have had, not just in District 3, but throughout the city, about the science on gas drilling. And so my intention before, my intention today, my intention tomorrow, is to defer action on this until the science gets more lined up with the politics. This should be a science issue. This shouldn't be a political issue. And today, I was prepared today to make a motion to defer this into the fall of this year to allow more time and study. Based on the manager's recommendation and briefing to us, I'll heed to the manager's request to wait 1 week. So therefore, I moved in zoning case Z090-211 to keep the public hearing open and defer this until January 19th.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. Okay, we'll have it on the agenda for next week then. Madam Secretary, could you go to item 49, please, 49? Again, thanks for all of those that spoke and our witness. We'll see you next week.
Item 49 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding the application for an ordinance granting a specific use permit for recycling buyback center on property zoned in Industrial Research District on the southeast corner of Shady Trail and Anduin Drive. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to stay? I'm sorry.
Stephen, all right. Let's move it along. Mr. Mayor, we sent 10 notices, property owners, and attorney fee of their request. Received no replies in favor and 3 replies in opposition. Do the opposition or owners for more than 20% of the land within 200 feet, it will require a 3/4 vote.
3/4 vote.
Oh, 3/4.
3/4 vote.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in the opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission, which is to approve the item? Anyone that would like to speak in favor? Mr. Mayor?
I think we've got one.
Is it Dallas? No.
Mr. Salazar, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I believe this is a recommendation from CPC and the staff recommendation was for a 2-year time period subject to site plan and conditions, I believe. Is that correct? Did you call them?
Yes.
Okay. Being that as it may, I'll move approval of the item as recommended by both staff and CPC and ask to close the public hearing.
Close and approve. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So the record will show that indeed it was unanimous and that qualified as a 3/4 vote.
Okay.
Madam Secretary, item number 50, please, 5-0.
50 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for an ordinance granting an industrial manufacturing district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an outside salvage or reclamation use on property zoned in Industrial Research District on the north line of Singleton Boulevard east of Pluto Street.
Mr. Mayor, within 25 notices, property owners within 400 feet of the area request, these 4 replies in favor and 10 replies in opposition. Do the opposition of owners more than 20% of the land area within 200 feet of the area request, will require a 3/4 vote to approve.
3/4 vote again. Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Come forward at this time and state your name and address for the record.
Mayor, if I could just express my intention at this time, that way the speakers can understand if they'd like to speak today, they could, because I will be actually moving this to the first meeting in March. The purpose is going to be to hold up a public hearing in the community, in the neighborhood where this facility wants to be located, and to allow the residents to live in that area and the business owners to be able to express themselves in a public hearing in the area affected. The purpose of mentioning it is that I believe if I keep the public hearing open and you speak now, you will not be able to speak at the following, even though it's 30 more than 30 days.
I think if you make a motion to defer, we'll just go ahead and take that motion, especially given the fact that it will be between January and March.
Right.
We'll deal with speakers then.
And I apologize. I couldn't do the meeting earlier because obviously the holidays came in through December and now January. But this is the best way I believe that we can address.
Why don't you go ahead and make your motion, Mr. Salazar?
Okay. The motion would be just to postpone this item.
March 9th?
March 9th is your first. Hearing.
To March 9th and to hold the public hearing open.
Gotcha.
Appreciate that. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed to order? Madam Secretary, if we could do 51, please.
Item 51 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting this renewal of a specific use permit number 1419 for an industrial outside use for an asphalt testing plant on property zoned in Industrial Manufacturing District at the terminus of Z Street east of Luna Road.
Mr. Mayor, within 18 notices, property owners from 400 feet of their request, these 3 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Anyone that would like to speak in favor? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Ron Copeland. I'm the Vice President and General Manager of Mar Marietta Materials North Texas, Oklahoma District, which this facility is within that district. Mar Marietta Materials is the second largest producer in the United States of construction aggregate. We operate across the United States, the Bahamas, and Nova Scotia, 285 quarries and distribution yards. Meridian Aggregates, which was the original owner of this SUP, was acquired by Mark Marietta over the last 10 years. We operate a rail distribution yard at this particular location on which an asphaltic concrete batch plant is operating. Our aggregate, which is used in the production process, arrives via rail. It's unloaded from rail cars and conveyed into stockpiles for future use. Now, this type of business model brings a number of benefits, but the two I'm going to talk about today are environmental and economic. The environmental benefits are in the form of reduced truck traffic. Most materials come in by rail. We estimate that the local communities could expect to see an increase in truck traffic of about 11,000 truckloads a year if this SUP is not approved. Not only does that present safety concerns for the local community, but it also can result in increased emissions. And we estimate that you could anticipate to see 16 tons per year of nitrogen oxide emissions increase, as well as a ton and a half of carbon monoxide, just due to the increased truckload traffic. Now, the economic benefits come in the form of jobs. The businesses and operations on this facility have employed over the last 2 years between 35 and 52 individuals, depending on market conditions. And given the fact that across the U.S., the unemployment rate in the construction industry is over 20%, we feel this industry has seen its disproportionate share of the impact of the recession. So for these reasons, I respectfully request approval of this SUP. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak on the item? Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Can I have a motion on this item?
Oh, sorry.
Ms. Salazar, please.
Thank you, Mayor. And first, I want to thank the applicant because I think in the past we've had batching plants come up, even some close to other businesses where, you know, the concern is obviously the air quality, the truck traffic. I think because this is on a rail line, it does a lot to mitigate the truck traffic, especially for materials. And take, you know, really, this is where you could actually make a case where the rail lines are actually beneficial to the environment because of the load you can carry off on rail. Actually, I've talked to the applicant, but I'm going to do a little something different. And I think this, for the reason that they are on the rail line, is I'm going to ask to deviate from CPC regulation to approve for a 10-year period with one automatic 5-year renewal. And I think that's beneficial to the applicant. It's good for the area. This is an area that's going to grow in the future, and certainly having the plant in that location mitigates also the distance that they have to move the materials for processing. If that's okay with the applicant, it's a 10 with a 5. Okay?
Closing.
That's in closed public hearing.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take that as a motion.
Second.
In a second. Do you want to comment on that, sir? Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Thank you. Madam Secretary, 53, please. 53.
53 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for an ordinance granting a amendment to the conditions for Plan Development District Number 742 for regional retail district uses and multifamily uses at the north corner of Northwest Highway and Skillman Street. You had one.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 128 notices, property notices, and 500 feet there request. She's one reply in favor and no replies in opposition.
What did you do to Deborah today?
I don't know what he did to me. We have one speaker that signed up, Lori Damon. Ms. Damon. Following Ms. Damon, anyone that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission, please come up after Ms. Damon.
My name is Lori Damon. I live in Dallas County. There has been information to speak today that was typed on an older model laptop that has not been hooked up to the internet. Recently, I was typing a letter, and while typing a paragraph that included the words, but not limited to, North Park, Rabbits, CIA, Accident, Scientologist, the mouse I could no longer control, and I could no longer finish this letter. I opened another page, and I began leaving out that recent paragraph. I was able to print this letter, but I could not print or copy the first letter. it kept showing up readable only. When I began to type the same paragraph elsewhere, the mouse did the same. A small magnifying glass went to the top of the screen to show the message sensitive material. I was never able to copy the paragraph containing the words North Park Rabbit, CIA, accident, Scientologist. The computer had been used to send information to include but not limited to city council, private security board, a letter to an attorney, and security company related business. Recently, letters have been written and have not yet been sent, yet one or more know the specifics of these letters. I have brought the letters with me today. After this letter writing, an SUV parked nearby for a period of time, and there have been others in recent time, and this is only after I found something in my belongings that may have been used as a listening device. There is information to show one or more have entered areas where I stay without permission and have done theft and damages to material. I will not speak today what was being prepared for today due to the current situation. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Anyone that would like to speak in favor? Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much.
Can I have a motion in regard to 54, please? And we'll take the question.
53.
I'm sorry.
I have a motion.
So moved.
Well, you don't move my motion.
You go.
What? No, I don't
mind.
Well, I'll tell you, this development's been going on for quite a while, and I'll tell you, Trammell Crowe's done a great job over there, what they've done, and I think they've worked very good, very well with the folks around it, and I appreciate that very much. And it's going to be a fine development, and look like hopefully it's going to get moved before schedule. And the mitigation of these trees, I'll tell you, you all are really, from what I've seen, is going to be fantastic, and it's going to make a lot of other areas around there really come to life. So I really appreciate what you've done there. So with that, I'd like to close the public hearing and approve staff and CPC's recommendation. Thank you.
It's been moved and seconded by Ms. Hill and Mr. Caraway, I believe. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or ordered? Madam Secretary, item number 54, please.
54 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for an ordinance granting a planned development district for a fraternal organization and office use on properties on a single-family district with consideration given to a specific use permit for a fraternal organizational property on the west side of Stokes Road, south of Forest Lane.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 89 notices, property owners within 500 feet of their request, received no replies in favor, 4 replies in opposition. Due to the opposition of owners more than 20% of land area within 200 feet, it will require a 3/4 vote to approve.
Okay.
Hey,
so,
thank you very much.
That will be any citizens speaking in.
I anticipate having a motion to defer this, so if I could, okay. Let me go to Mr. Allen first.
Right. Mr. Baldwin, would you like to come down? Would you like to make a statement?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rob Baldwin. I live at 401 Exposition Avenue in Dallas. I'm representing the Masons in this request. I got an email early this morning asking me to have this request to you to have this held under advisement for a month to give them time to work out some final issues with it. And with that, I would like that to be my formal request today that you not act on this, but hold it under advisement for a month.
Okay. I think this will give an opportunity for conversation to see if it does move forward and have a conversation. So with that being said, I move to hold this item under advisement to February 9, 2011, with the public hearing held open.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or ordered? Ms. Secretary, 55, please.
Item 55 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for an ordinance granting a heavy commercial sub-district on property zoned and industrial sub-district within Plan Development District No. 193, the Oakland Special Purpose District on the southwest corner of Harwood Street and Hunt Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 10 notices to property owners in terms of their request, received one reply in favor and no replies in opposition.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Anyone that would like to speak in favor?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members of the City Council, my name is Tim Cogswell, 507 Magnolia in Arlington. Here today representing Mr. David Smith, who's the applicant in this zoning case, and Mr. Charles Villasana and Ms. Judy Glazier, who are the current owners of the property, both who are with us here this afternoon. Our request before you is a change from the current I-2 zoning to HC, heavy commercial, to allow the development of a three-story residential structure. Mr. Smith is a longtime client who we have previously constructed three residences for, and we would be developing this project for him as well. The lot is 2,840 square feet in size. It's bordered on two sides by residential streets and on the other two sides by a Class A office building, which frankly does not leave us any options at all in terms of increasing the size or scope of our project. We did receive support from the Oak Lawn Committee as well as a unanimous vote before the City Plan Commission. If I could now, I'd ask Mr. Mark Schechter, who's the designer on the project, to make several comments. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor, City Council members. My name is Mark Schechter, 3111 Welburn, and I'm the designer of the single-family residence in Harwood and Hunt. Under the present zoning, there is a list of 131 acceptable uses for the site, but because of the size of the property and the aesthetically pleasing surrounding buildings of Harwood International, we feel that the best use for this site is for a single-family residence. Also, it would only require two parking places. Under the present zoning, we would be allowed to go to 70 feet or five stories and have an 80% lot coverage. We are planning to build for our clients a building that is almost less than half the height and only 60% coverage. We are not asking for any sidewalk or landscape variances in our plan. According to the city staff and the Planning Commission, the use is definitely not a problem, but we do need to have a zoning change to build a single-family residence. I personally want to thank Mrs. Medrano for her interest in our project, and we hope that all of the small tracts of land around Dallas will be developed successfully, create some income for the city. Thank you very much for your considerations. I'll answer any questions.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak on the item? Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. McGraw, please.
Thank you, Mayor, and I want to thank Mark for coming down, and the Vassanas, and of course, David Smith. I saw the front elevation of the home, and it is absolutely gorgeous. So with that, I would like to close the public hearing and approve it, item number 55. Thank you.
It's been moved and seconded. The seconds, Ms. Hill and Mr. McKinsey, Ms. Coop. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed to ordinance? Secretary, addendum item 6.
Addendum item 6 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding consideration of amendments to Chapter 51 and Chapter 51A, the Dallas Development Code, and Chapter 52, Administrative Procedures for Construction Code, to amend and establish certain fees for zoning, development, and building permit applications, deleting provision exempting schools from payment of SUP fees, amending provision exempting other governmental entities from payment of zoning fees, and amending requirements for contractors registration, and an ordinance granting the revisions. I think you had several speakers that signed up on this one, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Starting first with Melissa Kingston. Ms. Kingston? Following Ms. Kingston, Catherine Seal. Is that the individual signed up to speak, sir? You signed up? Oh, that's okay. It's a public hearing.
Okay. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Mayor, members of the City Council. It's been approximately 5 months since I last stood up here expressing our concerns about the fees that were being proposed by staff during the last budget cycle. I'm pleased to say that after 5 months of a lot of time and energy and effort, both exemplified by the private sector as well as by staff, we achieved a lot. We have much more in common ground than we have differences. And I will be candid that at the end of our first meeting when we got together, I wasn't as confident that we were going to get there. But I have to commend AC and Teresa and Vernon and Betty, as well as those that are sitting behind me who have participated in this process. They've devoted countless hours to getting where we are today. While we have accomplished much, we do have some differences. And we know that we've agreed to disagree on a number of those, but we would like to articulate those in any event. We believe that historic preservation, those additional fees associated with historic preservation, should not be implemented. We also firmly believe that historic preservation should not be paid for out of the enterprise fund. We believe that that's something that needs to be implemented immediately. Secondly, moving forward, the non-paying projects should also be removed by the enterprise fund, or there should be a reimbursement mechanism so that it's not shouldered entirely by the private sector. And I've heard a number of arguments to me stating that there's just no money available in the general fund. And while that is that may be true, that does not make it right that the private sector and the developers that are adding value to this tax base shoulder that burden. So in cooperation with the city, we've agreed on a temporary basis to shoulder those fees while we work over the next 6 months and formulate a system that's a pay-your-fair-share philosophy. We believe that needs to be implemented. We're not going to accomplish all of our objectives today, but I know that what we have accomplished to date is significant and meaningful, and there's much work ahead of us. I'd like to also thank the entire city council. As I look across the horseshoe, I could name each of you individually, but quite frankly, all of you have been engaged in this discussion, in this dialogue, and I appreciate the time and energy each of you devoted to this process. I understand that there's a last-minute amendment that staff has prepared that's aligned with the will of the task force, and we appreciate council taking action in that regard. Thank you again for your attention.
Good afternoon, council members. My name is Bob Weiss. I work for the Meadows Foundation, 3003 Swiss Avenue. I reside in District 9, but I'm here today representing my employer. First, I want to say a special thanks to council persons Haskins, Mark Owen, Kadane, Davis, Tasso, Natinsky, and really all of you who've been interested in this issue of preservation and fees. I know you've worked hard on it. We have to do a special call out to council members Petrano and Hunt, who have represented the Wilson Historic District in Lower East Dallas, and they're represented as well. And a special thanks to Mayor Leppard, who has a very deep understanding of public-private partnerships and knows that the philanthropic sector plays an important part in our community. And to Mr. Gonzalez, who I've just gotten to know through this process, and if Mary was here, she's been a longtime advocate for the foundation in the Wilson District and frankly lives nearby and is a consumer of it. So why are we here? We want to go on public record to oppose any new additional fees for historic preservation. Why? First, it's bad public policy. We have seen the public benefit of historic preservation through neighborhood redevelopment all over the city, but most especially including our Wilson District. This has increased and added to the city's tax base. Using adaptive reuse and preserving our past is good public policy, and it needs to be encouraged and not discouraged. Two, the proposed fees are unfair. There are homeowners of modest means who want to keep their homes in historic districts who should not have to pay any additional funds to do so. Social equity is an important value of the Meadows Foundation. Three, what we find most perplexing is the concept that has been stated that historic preservation work is free and costs the city. Let me just say emphatically, we totally reject that idea, and implicitly that somehow the Meadows Foundation are freeloaders in the city of Dallas. The Meadows Foundation has spent over $50 million on direct capital improvements on the Wilson District since the 80s. We took a rundown, crack-infested neighborhood and using historic preservation, we built it into a national model. We spend approximately $4.5 million every year to keep it up and operate it, and this includes over $1 million for our own policing with off-duty DPD and sheriff deputies. And by the way, we do pay property taxes, $500,000 every year, and all the sprinkler fees, fire alarm fees that you can throw at us, we pay willingly.
We are proud to have been able to spend $2.7 million on the purchase and renovation of St. James AME Church on Good Latimer, which is in front of you in the presentation I handed out. We had the building put on the city landmark rolls and cited as an outstanding example of a building adaptively reused for charitable purpose. Is there no lasting economic value in this project? And by the way, what about the spiritual importance of preserving the community's past? Doesn't that have value to the city of Dallas? And last, we have taken care of Central Square Park, a city park adjacent to our property, as if it were our own park. We repaired it and gifted it back to the city in the 1980s. And then during that estate collapse, we took over maintenance, and we still do. Mayor, it'll be summed up right now. We have spent over $1 million keeping that three-acre park up for the city of Dallas. In sum, we know difficult times make for difficult decisions. We do ask that you recognize that these proposed fees are inappropriate and unnecessary and should be removed from the proposed ordinance before you. We support having this historic present work placed back into the general fund. And thank you.
Appreciate it.
Good afternoon. My name is John Napper. I reside at 9430 Hathaway, Dallas, Texas. Mayor, City Council members, thank you for hearing us today. I'm here today representing NAOP, North Texas Chapter. We have about 300 commercial real estate developers in our organization. We're glad to say that we got involved late. We got involved with AC and Teresa in getting this fee issue brought to a head and discussed in detail and are generally in agreement now with how the fee should go forward. I think you understand where we are in Preservation Dallas. I won't cover that anymore. But I will tell you that I think it's important that you know that we came with this not really looking at the fact that it's a fee and the increase in fees, but it's more from our perspective was service and being competitive in the city of Dallas. It was very important to us that, you know, that Dallas is competitive with other cities in the Metroplex. We want to make sure these fees are in line with the other municipalities. But equally so, we want to make sure that you can turn around a zoning permit in less than, you know, 6 months. And these types of delays are significantly impacting our city. And so we've come to some suggestions that the committee that we'll be working with together with AC and Teresa will overview and look at the Building Inspection Department and try to streamline that and make it more effective and more efficient. We want to be competitive. I think one of the last points I'd like to make to you that really concerns me is when we look at the budget related to the enterprise fund, about 30% of this budget is on non-revenue-based projects, projects that everyone around this horseshoe requests, projects that, and I don't mean to take any shots, but I mean, but they get funded for free. Dallas Independent School District, you know, God bless our schools, but, you know, the cost of these factors are being, you know, 30% of this budget is now being funded by the private sector. It's a tax, effectively, being pushed to the development community. So really, like, we're going to work with you this year. We're going to get the fees in the committee. You know, we're going to work on that hard to get everything more streamlined. We hope that you'll look in 2012 when we go through this budget that a lot of these items need to be placed back in the general fund, because that's where they serve all the people in the city of Dallas and not just the development community. And, you know, we hope you'll help us with that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Catherine Steele. I'm the Executive Director of Preservation Dallas, 2922 Swiss Avenue, 75204. I'm here today on behalf of the board members of Preservation Dallas, as well as all of our members, and I want to thank the city council members and the mayor for your support of historic preservation and for the recent change proposed by staff to eliminate all of the fees for historic preservation and this ordinance. The development and design industry, as well as the interests of historic preservation, stand united. We do not believe that the public should have to cover the administrative cost of historic preservation, which does indeed benefit the entire city. We are requesting that historic preservation program be returned to the general fund, or alternatively be supplemented from money, the enterprise fund be supplemented by general fund money. Historic preservation programs across the country, and in fact in the state of Texas, are all supplemented through their city's general fund. The only exception in the state of Texas that we know of is San Antonio, which again does a reimbursement from the general fund into the enterprise fund. The reason is that historic preservation, when implemented and managed correctly, provides the entire city with better maintained and attractive neighborhoods, enhanced property taxes, and transforms what were once economically challenged inner city neighborhoods into livable, stable communities for existing residents, future owners in our city. The value of historic preservation can be seen throughout the city. Just think of the Wilson District, Fair Park, Kessler Park, Winnetka Heights, Lakewood, the lower Greenville neighborhoods, South Boulevard Park Row, Wheatley Place, Bishop Arts, lots of neighborhoods in Oak Cliff, the Central Business District, and hundreds of individual landmark properties throughout the city. Our request to return historic preservation back to the general fund where it's been for 27 years is reasonable and necessary. The Enterprise Fund is a business-related activity fund never meant to support general fund programs. We appreciate and respect the understanding and discernment of the City Council. We look forward to working on the Building Enterprise Task Force Committee on this issue moving forward. And in particular, we just want to thank Council members Angela Hunt and Carolyn Davis, both former board members of Preservation Dallas, who have been very supportive of our efforts. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Melissa Kingston. I live at 5901 Palo Pinto, which is in the Lower Greenville area. I'm here today on behalf of the Belmont Addition Conservation District and the Lower Greenville Neighborhood Association, representing approximately a couple thousand homeowners in the heart of the city. I, too, want to reiterate our thanks to the City Council members and city staff members who have worked with us in order to eliminate the proposed fees that would be assessed against historic districts and conservation districts. I'm not going to belabor the points some of the other speakers have made, but I did want to remind the Council that there are a lot of us in the city who feel strongly about these issues that I support and the people in my neighborhood support moving historic preservation funding items from the Enterprise Fund to the General Fund, where it should be and where it has historically been. And I also want to say that, you know, the characterization by city staff that historic preservationists or historic property owners and developers are somehow freeloaders or free riders is not only offensive, but demonstrates a genuine lack of understanding about the true economic value we bring to the city in terms of increased property values, catalysts for surrounding positive economic development and real estate development, and the eventual reduction of needed services in those areas that become more stabilized. So I understand that there's, you know, a point made that maybe there's a building permit application that we don't pay for, but we bring a lot of economic positive improvement in dollars to this city that we're not getting credit for. And, you know, for those reasons, I urge the Council and city staff to reconsider putting our historic preservation expenses back into the general fund. Thank you.
Afternoon. My name is Bob Stinson. I reside at 707 Tenaloma Court in Dallas, Texas. Good to see you guys today. Hey, just to wrap up where we are today, first of all, a thank you to the City Council. Back during the budget process, you deferred this item and you said, you guys go sit down and talk. And that was the best thing that you could have possibly done, and I thank you for that. It was a very, very constructive conversation that was had between the industry folks and between the city staff. AC, thank you for all your hard work. Teresa, for yours. Vernon, for you. Betty. It was one of the more constructive processes that I have seen happen in these halls in a long time, and for that I thank you. We made a lot of progress. You know, we've established a committee of the industry that's going to sit down and work with staff on issues on an ongoing basis from this day forward, and that's exciting because there's a lot of innovations, there's a lot of ways to streamline the process and do a lot of really neat things. But a couple days ago, I wrote you an email, and thank you to those that responded. I wrote with two issues that I wanted you to address today, and actually now there's actually three. and they've been told you here, but let me go through them real quickly. One is the historic and conservation. We are all in 100% agreement. The historic conservation people and the real estate development in the small business industry said this is not the right thing to do. It's a policy change, and in all honesty, in the Oak Cliff area, it is the historic and the conservation districts that are the backbone of what is causing a resurgence in parts of our town. We think that you need to not kill the goose, but lay the golden egg, if you will, and let's not try to do surcharges on that. So that's issue number one. Issue number two in the email was the pay your fair share issue, and this we believe in strongly. This was the premise of why the fees were proposed in the first place. Everybody said, you know, there's some services you're getting, you need to pay your fair share, and we believe in that, we bought off on that, we are not adverse to that, endorse it wholeheartedly. But it was, again, taking the analogy one step further, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And so what we found in this process, in this dialogue that happened, is inside this fund, there are some city services that are being performed that are not related to the industry that is making the applications and paying the fees that need to get a reimbursement from the city. So at some point in time, the city council, we implore you to do what's right, do what's fair, pay your fair share. And so with that, you've heard a request for taking care of historic and conservation in this fiscal year. If you could do that, that'd be wonderful. In the next fiscal year, please have your budget set up so that in that fund, a fair share is taken care of to take care of the non-revenue jobs. Last thing, and it's a minor one, inside the ordinance that was proposed inside the agenda were some fee increases that were not discussed. And as I understand it, the amendment that is in front of you or going to be proposed will help take those out, and we encourage you to do that. The industry is not adverse to fees, but the promise and the caveat is that we need to be at the table to discuss them, make sure that they're going. And so I am
appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for starting this process. It was very informative. It was very constructive, and I appreciate you all your help. Thanks.
Mr. Mayor, there were three speakers that I don't know if they spoke or not that signed up. Renee Smith, Judy Smith Hurst, and Jackie Staley.
No. Okay. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you. First of all,
Ms. Davis, I'm sorry. I think there's one more speaker. Did you want? Okay.
Oh.
William Kahn from 900 Jackson Street. I want to make sure that one thing is said today about all this, that, you know, when you're raising fees, it's just like going to the grocery store or filling station. I'm sure nobody likes it, and some people are going to complain about this, but I appreciate the fact that the city staff is involved in this lot of stuff. One of my associates attended almost all the meetings about the building inspection portion, and I did about the zoning, and you know, they really did seek our input, though had I been writing it, I might have written a little bit different than they did. But I just want to praise them for what they do and keep them, you know, helping us and letting us be part of what they come up with. And the really thing, our clients, not to say they're not interested in how much a fee is, but the thing that I hear most from our clients is things are not moving along as quickly as they should, and the procedures need to be speeded up and streamlined. Mr. O'Donnell, Mr. Costum, and those people have listened and heard us on that, and at a very recent meeting have pledged to us that they're going to do something about that, and we believe that they will. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I'm here with City Council, Robert Reeves, 900 Jackson Street, Suite 160, Dallas. I'm a zoning consultant speaking on behalf of myself. I just I want to thank the staff for keeping the consultants in the loop and providing us information on the increase in the zoning fees, and that's all I want to address this afternoon is the zoning fee issue. Just I want to reiterate one point. Just my personal opinion is the zoning fees are very, very excessive. I obviously understand, being a Dallas native, the need to close the budget gap. I would encourage the council, as a policy decision this next budget cycle, to consider those zoning applicants who don't pay a fee, regardless of who they are. There are about 30% of the cases don't pay a fee, to consider holding those in and funding those through the general fund, so the burden of paying those cases is not on the back of the private sector. I appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Anyone else? Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Mayor. First of all, I would like to thank everyone for coming down this evening on this addendum item number 6. I would like to thank Mayor Leppert, council members for their support for pulling together a task force / committee. I would also like to thank the staff members and their hard work for working with the task force. Number one, I would also like to make some amendments to addendum item number 6. The first one is building inspection. Approve the building inspection fee brief to Economic Development Committee, but add language to the ordinance to specify the hourly rates will only be charged for in-person meeting unless otherwise agreed. Historical fees. Omit any new fees for historical preservation or conservation district. Zoning fees. Omit all fees except those that amend the charges for planning development district to eliminate any fees for other public agents. Also, on the third and separate note, I would like to ask our city manager, Mary Soon, and AC, since you're sitting in her place, Mayor Leppert, to form the existing committee, and that existing committee to talk about the preservation, where they're asking that to put the preservation fees back into the overall general fund. I will ask the AC form that existing committee, which would be Preservation Dallas, the Meadows Foundation, and TRAP. Please bring us some options to consider the next year's budget discussion for how the general fund might reimburse the building inspection enterprise fund for the work that's been done for historical preservation, authorized hearing, and other work done without fees being charged.
Well, it's been moved and seconded. Mr. Atkins?
Thank you, Mayor. Again, thank you, AC, and the Guild Committee for the good work they're doing. Can I get someone from Building Inspection, Betty, or someone to come up? I have a couple of questions. And I know that, you know, we have been talking about express permits and trying to make sure that these permits is going out on schedule. And my concern have been for many, many months is that we got so many building fees, also building permits. It's in the pipeline. It's not getting out on a timer like now. And I did hear that during a briefing a couple months ago, we were talking about how do you cherry pick which one will go forward with express and which one would not go. How you said depends on value. You're talking about a $100 million project versus a $10 million project. How are we staffing now? I mean, I know we was ramming up to hire more people. And in Teresa Donald's office, could you just tell me where we are as of today?
I'm Betty Antebi, the building official.
Could we speak up a little bit?
I'm Betty Antebi, the building official. We're currently in the process of hiring to gear up to initiate the Q team again. We're about halfway with the hiring process on the positions. We have hired about 10 new positions, and we are hoping to have the Q team up and running by February 1st.
Okay. And by hiring that, if what is the timeline for someone who will come in to get a express permit or trying to get a building permit now, is the timeline are shrunk or where are we if someone starts today?
If somebody, well, it depends on the project that they bring
it's
in.
An average project.
An average project right now is between 6 and 8 weeks.
6-8 weeks. And when we get full staff with that 6-8 week shrink, would it still be there?
For the express team, we are planning on trying to turn those around within 2 and 3 weeks.
Do we have anyone on board now in staff that is doing the express permit now, today?
It's in a point of flux, so we do pull people that is currently doing the standard process to work on express projects, so we're pulling them from our current staff.
Okay. AC, I guess it's come to you because you have been handling this. Now, I know we have a backlog of builders and developers who want to do express permit. I know last time I checked, we had 72 people, companies there who were trying to get a express permit. Tell me what is the backlog of those 72 people who did want express permit. Have we got those in the pipeline? Are they still waiting? If so, tell me that the people who's trying to get one today, how are you using your staff now to make sure we're moving that down the road to get those permits?
As Betty just mentioned, right now it's on a catch-can basis as they have availability. And so we don't really have what we're looking to have February 1st in place. Once that is in place, once we have what we're now calling the Q team, which is going to be the express or expedited team to be able to handle these cases, we will start forming the line on first a chronological basis. You know, who came in first will be dealt with first. However, in the briefing that we had with the ECO committee, we stated that on a temporary basis, at least, we may need to prioritize those projects on a criteria that we'll set up to see about who might be needed to be set ahead of the line. We don't really want to do that if not possible. I mean, if we don't have to, but we recognize that there may be some projects that, for a number of different reasons, may be needed to be dealt with ahead of some others. So our plan is to see about getting, particularly in the building inspection, up in February 1st, and then moving as quickly through that 72 list as we can.
Okay. Another question along the building permits and our permits. How is our fees compared to the region? Are we higher than the other region? Are we comparison? Where are we?
When some of the comments are made over the last several months about our fees, that's one of the things that we're going to be needing to delve into much more carefully, because you can pick some aspects of our fees and say that they're extraordinarily high. But some of those that you're comparing to also charge some other fees, not related to building inspection per se, but impact fees as an example, which when you look at the end of the day, the total cost for getting a project may be something much different. So when we were talking with the committee, we wanted to make sure that we were going to be looking in a fair way at all those development fees of other communities in which we compete, make sure that we're being competitive.
Is there a room to negotiate? This said a developer want to come to Dallas and he look at all his fees compared to going to Plano and going somewhere else to pay more fees. Is there an opportunity for the developer to say, hey, I go here, it costs me X amount of dollars, and next time can they come back and say, okay, it's city of Dallas, you know, I'd rather go over here, but it's cheaper.
You know, to be perfectly honest, I've never had a developer bring up the aspect of fees with respect to building inspection fees on any of these kinds of conversations.
What about once that building inspection also includes timeline, you know, to get the permit?
That's what I was going to get to. Okay. What they most often talk about, though, is the issue of time, how long it's going to take in order to make something happen. And that's where we're having the greatest negative impact, particularly in the area of zoning, where it's just taking as long as a year to get through the zoning process. It's that has really become the central issue of some of the development projects that we are dealing with, and that is an issue of resource and some of the things that were mentioned earlier in terms of some of the procedures that we have up.
Thank you. Just last question, just a comment. Bob Wise, can you come down just for a second, please? Sometimes not. But, you know, Bob, you know, I just have to thank you and the Melda Foundation, what have you done to the city. I just have a personal thank you. And I know we waived some of these fees, but the historic district, I just have to say to my colleagues, you know, the foundation does so much work for the city of Dallas, you know. But when we need to hire employees to come to a project, you always come to the city hand. You know, when we have a tight budget, you always there. And it's people like you and your foundation, your colleagues, who make the city of Dallas a great city to live in. I just want to thank you personally and the Miller Foundation.
I appreciate that. We are going to be a dependable partner through every economic cycle, and we know the city believes in public partnerships, and we're going to be here for the city of Dallas.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the nice comment.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Hartzell, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Again, I want to thank the Meadows Foundation for all that they do for the city of Dallas and for their guidance in the Conservation Historic District issue that we've been dealing with. Conservation Historic Districts are very important to North Oak Cliff. Bob Stimson mentioned the Bishop Arts District. I have Lake Cliff that also is another historic district in my area, and they are the backbone of North Oak Cliff. So I'm glad that we're able to come to a good conclusion on this issue. I do hope we can continue a good dialogue on this to continue to talk with the, especially Preservation Dallas and the Meadows Foundation to come to some other good conclusions that we all benefit from. You know, the city did waive the fees today, and I would just like to continue the dialogue so that it doesn't just end today and that we can work closely together in the future.
Well, I want to thank you for those nice comments. Again, though we don't know you well enough, we hope to get to know you better. We appreciate your district and the conservation and historic preservation neighborhoods that you represent. We certainly plead guilty to being innocent a bit about the whole budgeting process. I've now made it a point to download everything off the city website about all the council amended proposals to the budget, all the fee funds, and we're going to go to school so that we're better able to participate. We're not experts in public funding, but we will be here for the conversation.
Right.
The city of Dallas means a lot to us, and each district is important to us, and I know you deferred a difficult decision this morning on supportive housing. There isn't an issue we're not engaged in, and it's not important to each of you, and we will be here for the long-term conversation.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to thank the members of the committee. Thank you, Bob. Yes, you may return to your seat. But just thank you to everyone who participated on this committee. I think it was impressive that folks from who are maybe on different sides of some issues came together and worked very hard to, I think, come up with a very good consensus on most of these issues and some very good recommendations on others. On the historic preservation issue, I think it's important for us to recognize that historic preservation helps our city in numerous ways, not the least of which is economic development, which I think Ms. Kingston articulated very well, improves our quality of life. But it's also an environmental issue, in that adaptive reuse of buildings is far better than to tear them down and have the environmental impact not only of those excess building materials, but having to pay for the cost environmentally of all the new materials that come across. And so I'm very pleased that we're able to take care of the issue in relation to historic preservation and those costs. I also want to talk about the issue that was raised in relation to the permitting process and the streamlining of building inspection, because I think that is absolutely critical. We talk a lot about Dallas being pro-business, but I think often what we mean is that we are working very hard to bring very large-scale projects or do tax abatements for big projects, and that's fine. That has its place. But what is equally important, if not more important, is focusing on the lifeblood of our economy, which are the smaller businesses that, I mean, when I talk with them and when they engage with our building inspection department, they have challenges. Not just the length of time it takes, but the complexities. When they compare surrounding communities, they have a lot easier time dealing with those departments. I think we have our work cut out for us, and I really think that the nation's economy is struggling, this is the one thing we could do to really ensure that Dallas is truly pro-business and that we will invite more businesses, I think, to the city of Dallas and not to our suburbs. if we ensure that we have a building inspection department that creates a streamlined, business-friendly environment. So I will look forward to working with you on that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Coop, please.
Yes, Mayor, I just have a point of clarification. The city secretary could answer a question for me.
What?
I just have a point of clarification. If the city secretary can answer a question for me.
Could we have a meeting without a city secretary? Of course.
I won't get
that.
See, well, why don't I go to Mr. Okay. Tiffy and I'll come back. Okay. Mr. Tiffy.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, Manny, John, everybody else that's working on this, I want to say, you know, thank you. It's you trusted us a little bit. When the budget season was here, we said we'd send you off on a mission and we'd try to work with you to get this thing resolved, and I think we've, you know, come a long way. It may not be perfect, but I think you've treated it in a very, you know, professional way, and I think we've got, you know, we can see some light at the end of the tunnel on it. The goal at the end of the day from the perspective of fees and so forth is to make sure that we've got a system that works very efficiently and responsively to the needs. You said you wanted expedited service. You're willing to pay for it. We've come up with a system to give you expedited service and, of course, gladly take the money. But it is a team effort that we've come up with. You know, when you talk about fees and you talk about times and stuff, I know one of the things that I've asked AC about, and I would like either the committee and or staff to come up with this, it's very difficult to compare one city to another unless you get everything out on the table. You can have one city that charges less fees, but they have an impact fee over to the side. Well, if you don't have the right columns on your spreadsheet, you really don't know what the total cost is. And the same thing with the time from start to finish. There's no need for the city to delay the economic development projects that we want to happen in this city. It's to our benefit to move them forward. Be they preservation, be they downtown, it doesn't matter where it is. They're all, in the end of the day, going to benefit the city. One of the speakers, it might have been Catherine that made the comment about San Antonio doing reimbursements. One of the things, and I've mentioned this to AC and to several of the people in the audience, the possibility of keeping the historic preservation piece of this in DI, but keep it in a separate drawer to where it's not looked at as a true enterprise. It's in the enterprise fund so that you can look at it from a perspective of, are we being efficient? Are we doing it in an expeditious way? Are we being responsive? But then have that reimbursement come from the general fund outside. My theory is that if you just dump it out into the general fund, it just gets lost. And then nobody has a handle on how you're dealing with it. A big piece also, there's going to be several policy decisions that we of us around this horseshoe are going to have to make as to how we deal with the question of public hearings that are called. You've got $2 million worth of those. Sure, nobody's there to pay for it. We don't expect anybody to pay for it, but I think you still have to be accountable as to how you're spending the money. And so I think that may be a way to deal with that. I appreciate all the hard work you all put into this. I know that you've still got work to do. You know, we're here to work with you to come up with a solution that benefits both of us. Thank you. And thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Coop?
Yeah, just a point of clarification for the city secretary. Could you read back the zoning fees section that Ms. Davis proposed? I just want to make sure I understood it correctly. Do you have that language?
Yes. Zoning fees says omit all fees except...
Omit all fees except those that amend the charges of the planned development district and to eliminate any fee exceptions for other public agencies.
Thank you, Madam Secretary.
I just want to make sure that in that clarification, there was a number of different zoning changes that were included in the information package to the council. What this would be doing is keeping in place the amendment to the charges on planned unit planned development, but also to keep in place the elimination of the exception of the public agencies. So in other words, we would have a zoning charge for other districts, like the school districts, as an example.
Yes, and that's what I was getting to. So okay. I appreciate that clarification. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. And I'm very supportive of the amendment. Thank you, Ms. Davis. And I appreciate I really appreciate staff's responsiveness, Teresa and AC and the manager, in hearing from council members, of which we heard from citizens about their desire to say, wait a minute, let's protect the historic district, let's protect the conservation districts, let's not necessarily put a barrier. So I'm very pleased that we are making this adjustment, and I appreciate Teresa, you working, and AC working with it. That's a positive thing. And John, you mentioned it very true, John Napper. It's about competitiveness, and Dallas needs to regain and step up its competitiveness, not just in the southern area of the city, but throughout the city and throughout the region. And I think part of that, and Mr. Atkins has spoken to this many times, is about making sure that when people come to the city, they have a reasonable expectation when they can get an answer on a permit and on a request. And I think the more surety we give developers that put dollars and homeowners that put dollars in the ground to develop, the better that we will as a city be. And so I appreciate Manny and your group. I appreciate very much Bob, the Oak Cliff Chamber, and John, and neighbor Catherine. Absolutely, you're always a very articulate spokesperson for all things preservation. Thank you very much. But I really appreciate, again, the staff listening and hearing this, because it clearly was the desire of citizens, not just in my respective district, but in the city. So thank you very much. I'll be very supportive of it. Thank you, Mayor.
Ms. Marvell.
Thank you. I want to add my thanks to everyone who's participated in this. This is a long process, but a worthwhile process. And I'm particularly glad that we have gotten access to the data that you have put forth as a result of this, because we now know a lot of things that we didn't know before. We know where the costs are coming from and who's paying what. And so I'm very supportive of the amendments. And I also want to echo what Mr. Natinsky said. I think that this council has to have a very serious conversation about authorized hearings, council and CPC authorized hearings, and the latitude that we give to authorize those. They're $2 million, and it's an expense that heretofore has just kind of been buried. We've never really had to look at it. And so over the next few months, I look forward to taking the opportunity to look at it so that we have policies in place by the time we begin working on our budget for next year. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much. Mr. Kinesley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I also would like to echo everything that's been said here. We've got some great groups out here in this city. We've got our developers, our builders. We've got our historic. We've got preservation, we've got the meadows, we've got Trek, and I think I saw Metrotex was here even earlier with you guys. I just want to thank you all for helping us to help you to make this the greatest city in the United States. And you all do that. Every one of you, every one of these groups is behind the City of Dallas and what happens here. So I think it's a great partnership. And I've just got to take my hat off to y'all, what y'all are bringing to us in order for us to make this a great place to live. And one more thing, I'm ready to see the dirt fly everywhere. You guys get busy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Hairway?
Thank you, Mayor. Let me simply echo my colleagues' comments and ditto every one of them. It is very, very important that we recognize and say and show our appreciation. John and Bob and Catherine, we met in my office and we sit and we talked about things. I even went another step further to ask you all to make sure that you throw in the mindset of when it comes to preservation, Cedar Crest and MLK, the Forest Theater. We talked about that, and that's in Ms. Davis's district, and we had those discussions, and just like Sheffy has said, let's take a look at all of Dallas. But more importantly, without your leadership, without the things that you're doing, not being on payrolls, but looking after the City of Dallas and to our staff as well, it moves Dallas up five more notches. And I just want to personally applaud and thank each and every one of you, because without your vision, we'd be standing still. with your hard work and dedication, we're moving Dallas forward. So thank you all for what you do and what you will continue to do.
Okay. AC?
Just want to also express my appreciation for all the hard work. I know that we've had some difficult times at times, but it's all been productive. And thank you very much for not only the work that you've already done, but the work we're going to be doing.
Thank you. And I want to add my thanks. When we started out this effort, there was clearly a lot of confusion and a lot of discussion on what the proper direction was going to be. And I appreciate the time and effort that everybody put in it. Clearly, the people who put time in, really out of their own time away from family and work and that sort of thing, as well as the people on our staff. I think we've made good progress, but I also want to make a comment that this is clearly an ongoing effort. And to think that we're done, I think, would be a big mistake. I think one of the reasons that we got in this situation is we weren't kind of keeping our eyes on the ball, so to speak. We weren't watching ourselves on how long it was taking to get things done. We weren't watching ourselves on where the fees were going relative to other municipalities. And I think it's absolutely critical that we learn from that and we continue to get back. One of the things that I'm going to ask AC to do in your department, I think it's important that every quarter you end up with some type of reporting mechanism, not just to the council but the community too, given the work that's been done on two pieces. One, what our fees are and trying to get some general sense of what they are versus the competition, other cities in the area, those sorts of things. And again, as was pointed out, as all-encompassing an effort as we can so that we get as much as you can apples to apples. The second piece, and I would argue, as several of my colleagues have, that this is a much more important one, is the time that goes into it. In other words, what's kind of the average time for processing? We did some analysis back when we were talking this that kind of identified that we're taking a lot longer, especially on the front end of the effort. Some of the other parts were more competitive, but on the front end that we were competitive. And again, I think it's important to kind of communicate to us, communicate to the community, and kind of use that as just a metric of where we're standing, how quickly we're going through this, both in terms of regular process, but also the expedited. And ensure that that expedited really is generating the value that it should. So when we charge more money for something, indeed there's a value there. And I think, again, some type of a quarterly mechanism would be awfully helpful. I also want to make one more comment just to kind of remind us. When we charge fees, but yet we don't charge fees, we bury it within an operating budget or something like that, somebody's paying for it. I mean, it's getting picked up by somebody somewhere somehow. And so while we may make individual decisions, let's not kid ourselves. That money is being picked up somewhere, somehow, and it is making other services that we deliver in the city that much more expensive because somebody's picking it up. So we can kind of kid ourselves that there's some shells, and I think we've, again, are communicating that on the historic pieces especially, those are an element of the fees that we want to be careful of how we handle. But just by not charging it and kind of burying it in the operating budget, it's being picked up by somebody somewhere. So we just need to kind of remind ourselves that in one way or another, the taxpayer's paying. And that taxpayer we need to make sure that we're conscious of and working on. Again, I think there's been great progress made. Let's just kind of commit ourselves to, on an ongoing basis, ensuring that, one, we're going to be competitive on fees, and two, especially we're going to be competitive on the time it takes to process this. Let's continue to work together on all of these pieces. Again, I think this was done exactly the right way. Industry jumped in and said, what's the best way to go at it, and added their expertise too. And importantly, let's continue to work on our processes. I think, again, an awful lot of opportunity to improve those processes, to reduce the time, but still do what we need to do from a regulatory standpoint, but make them more effective. But again, a big thanks. The motion in front of us is to approve the item and with the following amendments to it. In regard to the building inspection, to approve the building inspection fee briefed to the Economic Development Committee, but at language, the ordinance is specified that hourly rates will only be charged for in-person meetings unless otherwise agreed. On the historic fees, to omit the reference to any fees for historic preservation or conservation district. But then as a parenthetical addition, to really encourage the city manager and the assistant city manager to try to find ways to make sure that those aren't being subsidized by other parts or other payers of these services. And again, not an ideal situation, but at least to pull them through an entire operating budget. And then finally, on the zoning fees, remit all fees except those that amend the charges for plan development districts and to eliminate any fee exceptions for other public agencies. So again, I think importantly, and in today's environment, rightfully so, this now will take any entity that to this point has had their fees waived, and we will be charging fees to those individuals again, moving towards trying to allocate the fees to those that are actually using the service. With that, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, order. Thank you very much. Mr. Salazar, I believe we have an issue on number 51. If you would make, first of all, a motion to reconsider that, and then once we've dealt with that, then I'll go back to you to make a motion on the item itself.
Thank you, Mayor. With the Council's indulgence, I ask for a motion to reconsider item number 51.
It's been moved by someone that initially made the, or was on the side of approval. So if I can have another second.
Let's just correct the recommendation that was made.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of reconsidering item number 51, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Now, Mr. Salazar, item 51.
And that most also included the opening of the
public hearing.
Public hearing. I'd like to make the motion to, on item number 51, to follow recommendation of Staff Harder to do the time period for a five-year time period with five-year automatic renewal, and also to close the public hearing.
Okay, and again, I think for all of the council, explain what the change was and what the issue was.
The change is that every 5 years, the term is 5 years, and they'll have five-year automatic renewal. I think in talking to the applicant, part of their business plan calls for financing, which requires longer term. I believe that allows them to get to what they need on their financing. They're investing in a property as because they use the rail, obviously they put a lot of investment in their rail facility there on site to move the material. And I believe that meets with their, if any council member has any questions, ask them.
Because I think earlier it was 10-5, now it's 5-5.
Well, 5 year and then 5 year automatic renewal.
Everybody comfortable?
Let me correct.
Unlimited number of 5 years.
Right.
I just want to make sure.
Right. And that also means that at any 5 year increment, if something occurs in the area that causes it to be reconsidered, council can also bring it back through different procedures through a plan commission for reconsideration of the zoning on the property.
So just so we're clear, earlier we had said a 10-year and a 5-year automatic.
Right.
And then, in effect, ended at 15. Now
right.
You're saying 5-5-5-5-5
right.
Until otherwise raised by the applicant or the council.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay?
Right. Thank you.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed to order? That concludes our agenda for today. Madam Secretary, if we could go to the afternoon speakers, please.
Yes, sir. Our first speaker this afternoon is going to be Robert Robert Sorella, followed by William Hawkins, DJ Mayfield, Wayne Wooten, and Leslie Allen Davis.
But here's kind of average time.
Is Robert Sorella? He's not here. He's not here. William Hawkins, and while Mr. Hawkins is coming forward, let me recite the rules for speaking. Citizens and other businesses attending city council meetings shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the city council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks or who becomes boisterous while addressing the city council or while attending the city council meeting shall be removed from the room if the sergeant at arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the city council during that session of the city council. You have 3 minutes to speak. You will see an amber light. That means you have 30 seconds, and the red light means stop. State your name and address for the record, sir.
My name is William Hawkins. I was getting some information passed out. I didn't know if I could wait till they pass it out.
If you'd like to wait just a moment, we can go ahead and pass it out. If it's important to have that in front of people.
Say it again.
If it's important to have that in front of people, wait just a moment, we'll pass it out.
Okay. I can wait just a moment. It's okay. Important. It's important. Yeah. Oh, you can hear me? Okay. Appreciate that, Ms. Hunt. piece of paper. This is a letter from 1997. It was regarding Linda Bates. Linda Bates spoke down here this morning, and for some reason her microphone didn't come on, and they didn't hear her over the television or the radio. They blotted her out some kind of way. I don't know if y'all fixed it. I'm not going to deal with that, who did it. But so since her microphone wasn't on this morning, I took time out to try to, since didn't nobody hear what she was saying, you didn't want to hear what she was saying, I took time out to fix these little few pieces of paper. This first piece of paper is where Linda Bates come down here and had a meeting with the city in 1997. You could read with me, or you could take it home and go over it tonight. They told Linda that they didn't have nothing to do with the RSR settlement. It was against a group of people. This is what it's saying on the paper. It was a group of people and individuals. Okay, on the next page, it's turned one page. The first page is where the city of Dallas, they say they had a meeting with Linda in the conference room in the back, and they had a meeting with her regarding the RSR lead, and the city of Dallas didn't have nothing to do with the RSR lead smelter and that settlement that went on in West Dallas. If you turn the page to the next page, it's the city of Dallas sued the RSR lead smelter. You lied. You've been lying to Linda since 1997. I can't think of how many people done died in West Dallas since 1997 when the city council met with Linda Bates in the back room and told her that they didn't have nothing to do with the settlement in West Dallas. The second page is the settlement where the city of Dallas sued the RSR lead smelter. That's on the second page, and it's got Murphy Metals and Company on the second page. And they tell you throughout the little lawsuit, I already filed it with the city secretary, and I want one of these filed with the city secretary. Did they give you one? Can I have this filed with the city secretary?
Yes, sir.
These papers I just handed out to the city council. Okay, here I go. She was trying to tell you this morning about the people that's dying in West Dallas. Did nobody say nothing? But they come down here and spoke. And Dwayne Carraway and them told the people that they were gonna get with them and help them with the settlement. But since you here, Mr. Leppard, I can't get Dwayne or Mr. Cadane or nobody to say nothing about the settlement that they told these people that come down here and spoke about the lead that they was gonna help them. But ever since you here, Mr. Leppard, I can't get nobody to say nothing. No black, no Jewish people, no Hispanics, no whites, no nobody to say nothing with this white man is here. And I'll be back next week to finish up.
Can I take care?
Our next speaker is D.J. Mayfield, followed by Wayne Wooten. Ms. Wooten, please.
I didn't know if they were here or not. Are they here? My name is Wayne Wooten. I live in Dallas. Came down here to talk about these $500 million. Well, that's what I was waiting on. You
continue. Go ahead. Your time. You can continue.
I came down here to talk about this $500 million hotel y'all have been. Most of the people who voted against this hotel thought they were voting against it, not for it. Staff got in the back room and tricked these people into voting for this hotel, and they're telling me they thought they were voting against it when they voted no. We have minority representation down here that's not really giving minority citizens the right information, and we ain't had no minority representation down here since Lipscomb and Elsa Faye Higgins them left, because everybody down here is okay and everybody else except they aren't. They say y'all got some $500 chairs. Now, I don't know what y'all need with no $500 chairs, and you don't come down here but twice a month. And you're supposed to have a city council meeting four times a month, according to the city charter. But y'all just threw the poll in the city charter. It just ain't nothing. It don't even work with the city of Dallas. Y'all revised it and redid it, but y'all need to go to jail for what you're doing down here in this city. That's over $8,000 worth of chairs. That could be a staff person. Y'all done cut these people hours and then fired them. And ain't cutting nobody's money but poor folks. And your social structure says to mess over poor people. But just as I stated in that sociology class, I think the upper crust is the crook. I think the ones with the money. Because when the pilots that can bring the drugs in here don't go to jail, and the crack addict down there smoking that dope that that pilot brought in here gives the underclass, I got problems with that. Because I think the pilot is the underclass. And I think the laundry money, the people who laundry the money is the underclass. And just because you got that money in your pocket, because Europeans, y'all didn't have nothing when you came over here. When y'all came over here and took these people's stuff, y'all ain't had nothing. You was hungry and homeless. And now you sit out here and talk about homeless people like y'all ain't never been homeless. And if these people take their land back, like y'all say the Israelites did in Israel, come back home. These folks, they go home. Y'all ain't gonna be able to go to Europe because there ain't enough land over there. Y'all need to learn how to get along with people. And you black people, y'all need to start representing your people. Y'all sitting up here talking about history. These people ain't got no history in this city for black folks. And y'all sitting down here talking like Queen Elizabeth and acting like these white folks. Y'all need to stop it. And I'm sick of all of y'all. And where's the trees in Fraser Court? Who told out them trees?
DJ Mayfield.
My name is Minister DJ Mayfield, and my subject today was to talk about Jesus. I think I want to pray first. Let us go up into heaven. Will everyone bow their heads, please? Dear Heavenly Father, today is my birthday also. Thank you for 52 years. Thank you for my life, health, and strength. Thank you for the 30 years that you gave me here downtown Dallas at the Day Resource Center. God is good. God is just good. You know, sometimes, you know, we have conflict. We can't get along and everything. But God will help us to get along if we ask Him. You know, we need to learn to respect each other. You know, give respect. In order to give respect, you have to give respect. But anyway, I just came here to say I thank the city of Dallas for helping me. I was 21 years old when I came down here, and I was in a terrible car wreck accident. And it kept me down here for like 30 years. And now I'm having some, like, some little issues. But I put it in the Lord's hand, and I've been with the Lord 50 years, so... I mean, no weapon formed against you can prosper. And me, myself, I think it was a good idea when they opened the bridge to try to help people. But some people you can't be nice to. They'll take advantage. Just, you know, Satan is busy. Satan does evil work, you know. And you have to pray. I have to pray every day. You know, I have to pray. Pray, because that devil is busy every day down at the bridge. You know, it's just unnecessary. It don't make no sense for people to be getting along like they're getting along. You know, people are being real rude, real disrespectful, pulling weapons on people when you walk down the street, drug addicts, crackheads trying to get a fix or whatever. It's wrong. It's wrong to harm somebody or kill to get what you want. I thank God I didn't have to harm or kill to get what I wanted. I was 21 years old. I came up down there at the Day Resource Center, you know, and I asked God to come in my life to fix my life. You know, He fixed my life from head to toe. He changed me. I said, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I didn't disrespect nobody, never. I have no record. I got in trouble one time in my life, which was an accident, you know, and God has, you know, everything is clear. I have no record. I have nothing. God has freed me. I thank God. I'm 52. Today is my birthday, or tomorrow, and I thank God because He gave me all those years down at the Day Resource Center, and I didn't have a problem at all. I didn't have a problem with it, but now it's all kind of problems
going on. Thank you very much. We appreciate you being with us.
God bless you, and thank you.
Mr. Mayor, our final speaker is Leslie Allen Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Leslie Allen Davis.
This is your time.
Leslie Allen Davis, 3035, East Lesbian, apartment 401, phone number 214-376-3811. Mayor, you don't need to run for no senator. You need to stay the mayor. That's one. Two, You don't even got no. We need you ready to say your full term out, nonstop. Cause you ain't ready for the city. You didn't even stay right here. Okay, Barack Obama. We need a UN peacekeeping troop. We need the United States peacekeeping troop to go to the Ivory Coast and to these hot spots like Mexico to help support Mexico and the drug war. And we need some, and they need to shoot not to kill, but to wound and disable. That's what they got the expert shooting. Please, everybody. I know y'all said this on the radio. Say, pray for that young man, Lindsey Allen Davis. Pray for him. Please pray for him. I need prayer. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Pray for me so I can get better. I want to get better. I want to do good things. I want to be a good person. I'm tired of riding taxpayer back. I mean, not being a contributor to society. But I want to one day. Okay, and about these kids at home, when you go to school, you give your very best. And don't worry about the grade, just give your very best. And don't worry, and pray to God that He help you in your schooling, that you learn to do more. And don't worry about it, even if you flunk, as long as you give your very best. If your teacher tell you it's what you done wrong, you try to do better next time. Don't worry about flunking. Don't worry about dropping out. Just as long as you try to give your best and try to do your best. Oh, yeah. Y'all feel like that drive? Y'all be sure to buckle up. And drive safely. And I love you. I love city council. They got these demons. And some got these demons. What's his name? Tom Neville got man so mad at me a while ago. Y'all won't give him my 3 minutes sometimes. I stick it in every time I get a chance.
This is your time. You got it.
Well, let me have all my time. Let's see. What else?
Remember, there's a 5 second rule. If you pause for 5 seconds, it's over.
Wait a minute. Give my time. I need my time. It's valuable. I wait all day for y'all to talk all day. And I can't get my full 3 minutes. How is that equal to? That's what Dr. King said. And justice in the world is better than justice everywhere in the world. So you can't go with, you can't keep doing, you can't, y'all can't do wrong. I can't do wrong. Nobody in the United States should be doing wrong. Even wrong people shouldn't be doing wrong. And, King said he has a dream. We want that dream to come to fruition for Obama leave office, where everybody be judged by the conscience of their character. You know, doing the right thing, helping each other. And those city employees, you know, they're not doing y'all right, so I'm not doing y'all right here. Give your best and God will find a place for you. God, when they start flying and fall, you'll have a place to go because you'll be ready. So get ready to start looking at the magazine for other employees because they're going to do it for most fine. Because the economic situation is not, it's still kind of sick. I got 4 seconds, 3, 6,
no, I was going
bad.
Thank
you, Tom. You
saved
a man while nobody.
I'm
still
a fighter.
I'm just happy to knock you out next week.
See, you got an extra 15 seconds. Ms. Hossa. Mr. Cadet, did you know today was the last day for the Battle of the Badges with the DPD versus the Fire and Rescue Department on the blood donation? There's still time. From 3 to 7 today at the Southeast Division, 725 North Jim Miller. You can still donate blood, designated either fire or police, and then we'll find out, I guess, next week on who won. Ms. Davis, did you want to add anything? Deal. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. We're adjourned.
At 3:17 p.m.